الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I would like to repeat really what I said here because some people came a little bit late and it's important that they follow up on this with us. We are talking about the famous from the companions concerning tafsir. A group of the companions were known for their excellence in tafsir. Amongst them are the four rightly guided caliphs, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali. May Allah be pleased with them all. Except that the narrations from the first three ones, Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, were not much because they were so much busy in the ruling and the affairs of the Ummah. And also there wasn't really much need to relate the narrations because of the abundance of people excelling in tafsir. And from those who were famous in tafsir from the companions are Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Ali bin Abi Talib, Abdullah bin Abbas. And let's consider first Ali bin Abi Talib. Ali is the son of Abi Talib and Abi Talib is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is the husband of the Prophet's daughter Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her. And he was the first from the relatives of the Prophet ﷺ to accept Islam. And his nickname is Abu al-Hasan. And another nickname for him is Abu Turab. One time the Prophet ﷺ came in and he found him sleeping and sweating, and that the earth dust was sticking on him because of the sweating. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, Stand up, Abu Turab. And he used to like to be called by this nickname, or mentioned by this nickname, Abu Turab. He was born 10 years before the beginning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophethood, and he was raised in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he attended all the battles with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam except one, and that was of Tabuk, north of Medina, far north. And he used to carry the banner in the battlefield in most of the battles. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reason for him not joining the battle of Tabuk is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigned him to take care of his family. And Tabuk was, as I said, away far north. And he told him, you leave me amongst the children and women, he wanted to go. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, don't you love to be, as regard to me, in the same status of Harun, like the status of Aaron with Musa. However, is that there is no Prophet after me. And here, the Prophet ﷺ trusted him in his family during his lifetime. And he didn't say this concerning him after his lifetime, after the Prophet ﷺ death, and therefore there is no proof for the Sunnah to exaggerate in this saying of the Prophet ﷺ concerning Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Two people went to extremes regarding Ali and his merits. One of them are called al-Nawasib, who neglected and hid the merits of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they stood up in enmity against him. The other extreme are the rejectionists of the Shia, who exaggerated in their so-called love of him, and innovated so many merits, in fact fabricated these merits, and he was free from having a need for such claims. To the contrary, anyone who really gives them a good thought will find that these in fact are to be considered as insults
against Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we know that they elevate him to levels that they say that he is higher than the levels of the prophets and messengers. And in fact, I heard it by my own ears the other day in a poet where they said, in a poem where they said that the angels, that the prophets and messengers come to him for consultations concerning the world. He was famous for his bravery, intelligence with knowledge and purity of knowledge, and to the degree that Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, Umar, may Allah be pleased with him as well, he used to seek refuge from problems which Ali doesn't have a solution for. And it is narrated from Ali that he used to say, Saluni, saluni, wa saluni an kitabillahi ta'ala. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا مِنْ آيَةٍ إِلَّا وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ أَنَزَلَتْ بِلَيْلٍ أَوْ نَهَارٍ. Ask me concerning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah, verily by Allah, there is no ayah, there is no verse, except that I know when it was sent down, during the night or during the day. Whether it was sent during the night or during the day. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, if the reliable news comes us from Ali, we wouldn't resort to anything else. And he, Ibn Abbas, also mentioned that whatever tafsir I took it from Ali Ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with all of them. He was one of the consultation committee members whom Umar designated so as to assign the next Khalifa after Umar. And the Khilafa, the leadership, was offered to Ali by Abdul Rahman bin Auf, and he refused except to certain conditions. Then after that, this was offered to Uthman, and Ali gave the allegiance to Uthman, and the people gave the allegiance to Uthman, and Uthman was assigned the leadership until the time when Ali was killed as a martyr in Al-Kufa in Iraq on the 17th night of Ramadan in the 40th year after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him and with all the companions. This is Ali ibn Abi Talib, and as you know, he is one of the famous people of tafsir. The second is Abdullah bin Mas'ud. May Allah be pleased with him. Abdullah bin Mas'ud bin Ghafil al-Hudali, his name. Ummuhu, his mother, is known as Abd. And they used to refer him to her name sometimes, because his father died during the times of ignorance. Okay. And his mother encountered the beginning of Islam, and she accepted Islam. And he was from the earlier people who accepted Islam, and he migrated the two migrations, the first to Abyssinia and the second to Medina. And he attended the Battle of Badr and the other battles after the Battle of Badr. He received from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than 70 chapters from the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day wiped over his head and said, يرحمك الله, may Allah's mercy be upon you, إِنَّكَ غُلَيْمٌ مُعَلَّمٌ. You are a small boy or a little boy, and yet you are inspired and very understanding. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever likes to recite the Quran as fresh as it came down, let him recite it according to the recitation of the son of Abd, meaning Abd, meaning Abdullah bin Mas'ud. him, meaning Abdullah bin Mas'ud. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, Ibn Mas'ud himself, may Allah be pleased with him, said, لقد علم أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أني من أعلمهم بكتاب الله. The companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم knew that I am of the best concerning the knowledge amongst them, concerning the knowledge of the Book of Allah. And then he said also, والله الذي لا إله إلا والله الذي لا إله غيره. By Allah whom there is no true God except Him, besides Him there is no other God. There is no surah that came down from the Book of Allah that came down except that I knew when it was revealed, and that no verse was revealed from the Book of Allah except that I knew as to whom it was addressing. And if I would have known anyone more knowledgeable than me concerning the Book of Allah and wherever he is, in any place that the camels can reach, except that I would ride and go for him. And he used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to take care of his shoes, of his water for the wudu, and for his bedding during the travel, to the degree that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, may Allah be pleased with him, who came from Yemen, he said, I came from Yemen with my brother and we stayed for a while and we didn't see except that Abdullah bin Mas'ud, as if he is one member of the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of how much we had seen him coming in and getting out, you know, from the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And because of such an attachment to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was so much influenced by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and by his guidance, to the degree that Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, the companion Hudhayfa, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I didn't know of anyone who is close in guidance and in outward appearance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam from the son of Abd, meaning Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with all of them. Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, Umar ibn al-Khattab sent him to Al-Kufa to teach them the matters of their deen. And he sent Ammar bin Yasir as a leader to Al-Kufa. And he said, إِنَّهُمَا مِنَ النُّجَبَاءِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَاقْتَدُوا بِهِمَا. That both are from the nobles and from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, so follow them and take them as an example. Then after Umar, Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, assigned him as in rulership, in authority on Al-Kufa in Iraq. And then he removed him and commanded him to return to Medina. And he then died in Medina in the year 32 after Hijrah, and he was buried in Al-Baqi', and his age was then slightly more than 70 years of age. May Allah be pleased with him and all the companions. This is Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, the cousin of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, was born before the migration, 3 years before the migration. He associated himself with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is his relative, and his maternal aunt Maymuna is the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Maymuna is the maternal aunt of Abdullah bin Abbas, and she was the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hugged him and invoked Allah, saying, Allahumma allimhu al-hikmah. O Allah, teach him al-hikmah. Al-hikmah generally means wisdom. And in another narration, al-kitab, the book. And one time when he brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam his wudu, meaning the water for him to make wudu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invoked Allah by saying, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen. O Allah, make him excel in understanding the deen, the religion of Allah. And by this dua, this blessed dua, he became the interpreter of the ummah in explaining the book of Allah and dissipating such knowledge, as well as in fiqh, in jurisprudence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him success so as to be keen on attaining the knowledge and seriousness in seeking it, and above all patience in receiving knowledge, patience in receiving knowledge and in also propagating it. And thus he was granted this great status, and his rank was high to the degree that Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab, the leader of the believers, Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, used to invite him to his circles and take by his saying. So the immigrants one day told Umar, أَلَا تَدْعُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا كَمَا تَدْعُوا ابْنَ عَبَّاسِ. Shouldn't you invite our sons as you invite Ibn Abbas? So he told them, ذَاكُمْ فَتَى الْكُهُولِ, meaning this is the, although young, but he is, you know, like the old ones, mature. له لسان سؤول, he has an inquisitive tongue, وقلب عقول, and a comprehending heart. Then one day he invited them, he invited the immigrants and made him come, called upon Ibn Abbas to come in order to show them what Umar was thinking of him. So Umar asked them, what do you say concerning the saying of Allah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Surah An-Nasr 110, please. First verse of Surah 110. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When comes the help of Allah to you, O Muhammad, against your enemies and the conquest of Mecca. طيب. To the end of the surah. So he told them, what do you say concerning this verse? Some of them said, we had been commanded in this verse to praise Allah and seek His forgiveness when He opens for us the state or the city of Mecca. And others were silent. So Umar looked to Ibn Abbas and told him, أَكَذَلِكَ تَقُولُ, do you say the same thing? He said, no. Umar said, then what do you say? فَمَا تَقُولُ؟ قَالْ هُوَ أَجَلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَعْلَمَهُ اللَّهُ لَهُ. This is the news that the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ's appointed time is coming to an end, meaning he is going to die. Allah is telling him that when he says, when comes the help of Allah to you, O Muhammad, and the sign is the conquest of Mecca. This is the end of the Prophet's life on earth. When that comes, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, then declare that your Lord is far above any imperfection, and praise Him and seek His forgiveness. Verily He is oft forgiving. قال عمر ما أعلم منها إلا ما تعلم. I don't know about it except that what you know. And Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said لنعمة ترجمان القرآن ابن عباس. Verily, most honored and best is the interpreter of the Quran is Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, told someone who asked him about a verse in the Quran, told him, go to Ibn Abbas and ask him, because he knows better than me. From those who are still alive concerning that which was sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ata, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be upon him, said I didn't see any circle more generous and honorable than the circle of Ibn Abbas in fiqh, and more fearing than that circle, the fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see there the people of fiqh with him, and you see with him also the people of Quran and the people of poetry, and he excels them all, as if he is taking from a vast valley. And also Abu Wa'il said that Ibn Abbas one day stood when he was in charge of the pilgrimage, as Uthman assigned him to that assignment. He stood up making khutbah. So he began with Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, reciting and explaining and making tafsir. I used to say then when I heard that, I never saw nor I have ever heard the words of a man like those of Ibn Abbas, meaning concerning the Noble Quran. And if Faris, the Persians and the Romans and the Turks would have heard him, they may have accepted Islam. Uthman assigned him during the year 35 after Hijrah to take charge of the Hajj, of the pilgrimage. And Ali, during the rulership of Ali, may Allah be pleased with all of them, he assigned him in charge of the city of Al-Basra in Iraq. And when he, Ali, was killed, Ibn Abbas returned and stayed in Mecca. Then he left Mecca to the city of Al-Ta'if, very close to Mecca, which is a mountainous city, where he died in the year 68 after Hijrah, and his age was then 71 years old. These are three of the famous companions in knowledge of tafsir. Now, the famous amongst the successors to the companions from At-Tabi'een, those who excelled in tafsir from the Tabi'een were many. From them, from the people of Mecca, and these were followers of Ibn Abbas in tafsir, like Mujahid and Ikrima and Ata ibn Abi Rabah. Ata busied himself in the fiqh of Hajj. He was the reference for the people concerning the fiqh of Hajj in his times. And also from the people of Medina, from the followers of Ubay bin Ka'b, like Zayd bin Aslam, Abi al-Aliya, Muhammad bin Ka'b al-Quradi, all from the people of Medina who excelled in tafsir. And from the people of Kufa in Iraq, and they were the followers, like the students of Ibn Mas'ud, because you know Ibn Mas'ud spent some time in Iraq, like Qatada, Ilqima, والشعبي. I repeat, like Qatada, Ilqima, and الشعبي. May Allah's mercy be upon all of them. Let's take two of them, quite famous and known. Mujahid, his name is Mujahid bin Jabr al-Makki, was born in the year 21st after Hijrah. He took the tafsir from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. Ibn Ishaq narrated that Mujahid said, I presented al-Mus'haf to Ibn Abbas three times, from the opening chapter to the end, stopping him at every verse and asking him about every verse. He did this three times. And Sufyan al-Thawri, the great scholar of Islam, used to say, إِذَا جَاءَكَ التَّفْسِيرُ عَن مُجَاهِدٍ فَحَسْبُكَ بِهِ. If the tafsir from Mujahid reaches you, then suffice for you is this. Imam al-Shafi'i took by his tafsir, as well as al-Bukhari. In fact, al-Bukhari related so much from Mujahid in his Sahih. And al-Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahumullah, said at the end of his biography concerning Mujahid, أجمعت الأمة على إمامة مجاهد. The Ummah is unanimous concerning the Imama in knowledge of Mujahid and referring to his sayings. He died in Mecca while in prostration, وهو ساجد. توفي في مكة وهو ساجد. He died while in a state of prostration in Mecca in the year 104 after Hijrah. And he had 83 years of age then, rahimahullah ta'ala. This is Mujahid bin Jabr al-Makki. Now Qatada. Qatada is the son of Du'ama al-Sidusi al-Basri from al-Basra in Iraq. Wulida akmah ay a'ma, he was born blind, in the year 61 after Hijrah, and then exerted a lot of effort in seeking knowledge, and he had a very strong memory to the degree that he spoke about himself saying, I never said to someone who speaks to repeat. And my ears haven't heard anything except that my heart kept it. Imam Ahmad spoke highly and highly about Qatada and dissipated his knowledge and fiqh, as well his knowledge regarding matters of difference, and also his knowledge in tafsir. And he described him with hifz and fiqh. And he said concerning him, you rarely find anyone who excels him. He described him as the master of those people, the master of the people of al-Basra in hifz, in memorization. He died in the city of Wasit in the year 117 after Hijrah. and he was 65 years of age then. This is concerning the subject, the companions, the most famous companions and the most famous amongst at-tabi'een in tafsir. Now we go to a very important subject, a very, very important subject, and it is Al-Qur'an muhkamun wa mutashabih. The Qur'an muhkam wa mutashabih. The Qur'an perfectly clear. This is called muhkam, perfectly clear and not entirely clear matters in the Qur'an. The Qur'an varies in regard to the matter of its verses. Those that are perfectly clear and those that not entirely clear, it varies into three types. It is of three types regarding the muhkam and the mutashabih. The first type, the general perfection. The general perfection within which the Quran is described in its entirety. The general perfection within which the Quran is described in its entirety. Like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud 11:1, كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. This is the general perfection of the Quran. First verse in Surah Hud, كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. This is a book, the verses whereof are perfected and then explained in detail from one Allah, the All-Wise, who is All-Wise and well-acquainted with all things. This speaks that the verses of the Qur'an are of this general perfection. Also, the like of this is mentioned in Surah Yunus, verse 1 again, 10:1. Alif Lam Ra, تلك آيات الكتاب الحكيم. Alif Lam Ra, these are the verses of the book Al-Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described his book as Al-Hakim, all wise. Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse 4:43-4, وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ ذو علو وارتفاع and حكيم ذو حكم فهو جامع بين العلو والسلطان. And verily it is in the mother of the book Al-Quran before us indeed exalted, full of wisdom, exalted. The Quran is exalted in highness, and anyone who takes by the Quran, then he will be exalted again also. Hakim, described with hukm, so it comprises both exaltation and authority. All of these verses stand to tell us the general perfection and exaltation of the Quran and its authority in its entirety. So such perfection is imperfection in quality regarding its wording and meaning. It is of supreme eloquency. Its news are all true and beneficial. There is no lying in it, nor there is contradiction. and its rulings are all just, without any contradiction, nor any inferiority or shamefulness. This is the meaning of perfection. This is the perfection of the Quran as a whole in its entirety. This is the first type. The second type is the general resemblance within which the Quranic verses are qualified with in the entire Quran. It is like the saying of Allah in this respect in Surah Az-Zumar 39 verse 23, Allah nazzala ahsan al-hadith kitaban mutashabihan mathaniya تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلودهم وقلوبهم إلى ذكر الله. The Quran resembling each other. Allah resemble, its parts resemble each other. Allah has sent down the best statement, a book, the Quran, its parts resembling each other. متشابه. This is one meaning of this تشابه. Its parts resembling each other in goodness and truth, oft repeated. The skins of those who fear their Lord shiver from it when they recite it or hear it. Then their skin and their heart soften to the remembrance of Allah. That is the guidance of Allah. He guides therewith whom He pleases, and whomever Allah sends astray, for him there is no guide. So this meaning of tashabuh here, it means resemblance. All the Quran is filled with such resemblance, its parts resembling each other in goodness, in perfection, in quality, and in the objectives. Listen to what Allah asserts in another verse in Surah An-Nisa 4:82. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had it been this Quran from other than Allah, they would surely have found therein much incongruity and contradictions. So this is the second type of variation in the Quran. The third, and now we come to the heart of the issue. Some parts of the Quran have special perfection, and some parts is mutashabih, not entirely clear. This is evident from the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Imran in chapter 3 verse 7. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ. It is He who has sent down to you, O Muhammad, the book. In it are verses, meaning some. Where did this go? It's moving. In it are verses that are entirely clear. They are the foundations of the book. And others not entirely clear. These are the mutashabih. So, as for those in whose hearts there is deviation from the truth, they follow that which is not entirely clear thereof, seeking fitna and seeking for its hidden meanings, but none knows its hidden meaning save Allah. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge say, we believe in it, the whole of it is clear and unclear are from Allah, and none receive admonition except men of understanding. We'll go over this verse now, inshallah, piece by piece. In reciting this verse from Surah Al-Imran, which you have it in the text, most of the Salaf stop while they recite the Quran, while they recite this verse, stop at the statement, a man knows its ta'wil, man knows its hidden meaning, save Allah. Most of them stop here, save Allah. Others stop after, let's have the continuity now please, after this. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, they stop at al-ilm. And yes, they continue reading, so you will read and seek for its hidden meaning, but none knows its hidden meaning save Allah and those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, period. So those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they know the meaning of these that are not entirely clear ones. So, as for those who stop at illallah, save Allah, they said, what Allah is referring to here is the reality of the outcome or the consequences of these that are not entirely clear. The outcome. This is only known to Allah, they said. And those who stop, continue reading after save Allah and those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say here, what's intended here is the tafsir, is the explanation of these verses. And the tafsir is known to those who are grounded in knowledge. And Ibn Abbas himself said concerning this particular verse, أَنَا مِمَّنْ يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ, I am from the one who know the meaning of these not entirely clear ones. So the meaning of this, that some verses are the foundations and they are the muhkam, the perfectly clear ones, very clear, nothing is hidden at all. Just like the saying, let's take some of these verses that are entirely clear, muhkam, like the saying, for example, of Allah in Surah Al-Hujurat, which is Surah 49, verse 13. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا. Entirely clear. O mankind, we have created you from a male and female and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Entirely clear. Take also another example. 2:21, the first command in the Quran. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O mankind, worship your Lord Allah who created you and those who were before you so that you may become from the pious. Also the saying of Allah, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ, Allah made al-bay' trade lawful. Also the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:5-3, حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به. Forbidden to you are الميتة, the dead animals, cattle, beasts not slaughtered, blood, flesh of swine, the meat of that, etc. And the examples are many in the Quran. So this is referring to the particularly perfect verses which constitute the foundation of the Quran. This is called al-muhkam. Back again. This is called muhkam. The other, which is called mutashabih, not entirely clear. So here the verse would mean, meaning the verse of Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 7, that it is not entirely clear to the degree that, you know, Some may come to think things that are not befitting to Allah or to His Book or to His Messenger. However, the knowledgeable, firmly established in knowledge, they will know otherwise. They will know the truth. Let's take an example. Take something concerning Allah Himself. If some would come under the delusion from the saying of Allah, for example, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ 5:64. Rather, both of his hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands, are extended. مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. So if one comes now with the delusion that the hands of Allah, that to Allah belongs hands that are similar to the hands of the creatures, so in this case the person projects something not befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others said something which is not befitting the Quran, and they came under the delusion that the Quran contradicts itself. Some parts contradict other parts. And let's take an example, for example, of their delusions concerning the verse Surah An-Nisa 4:79: مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Whatever of good reaches you is from Allah, meaning this is from the bounty of Allah upon you. It is not incumbent upon Allah, it is from His favor on you. And however, whatever of evil befalls you is from yourself. You are the cause. And also in the saying of Allah, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. And whatever a calamity befalls you, it is because of what your own hands had earned. Also, for example, the delusion that they have concerning the verse 4:78: وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. قُلْ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. So wheresoever you may be. Now, and if some good reaches them, they say this is from Allah. And if some evil befalls them, they say this is from you, O Muhammad. Say all things are from Allah. So what's wrong with these people that they fail to understand any word? So they are under the impression or the delusion from these verses that the Quran belies the Quran. Its parts belie other parts. This is concerning the Quran, concerning the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are under the delusion when they read Yunus 94, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doubted. فَإِنْ كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍّ مِّمَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ فَاسْأَلِ الَّذِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. So if you, O Muhammad, if, watch for this if now, we will explain these verses again, we'll come back to them. So if you, O Muhammad, are in doubt concerning that which we have revealed unto you, then ask those who are reading the book, meaning the Torah and the Injil, the Gospel before you, verily the truth has come to you from your Lord, so be not of those who doubt it. And it is known that the Prophet ﷺ did not doubt a bit. But the people who read such a verse, they come under the delusion that the Prophet ﷺ did doubt, because they don't take these verses to the other, which are entirely clear. Although even the verse itself, there is no problem with it, but this is the problem with the people who have zayg in their hearts, who have deviation in their hearts. So the people who are firmly established in knowledge, their position concerning the mutashabih, that which is not entirely clear, Allah made it clear in the Quran. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ, Al Imran chapter 7, chapter 3 verse 7, as to the, to those who have deviation in their hearts, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ, look Allah how He described them, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ, they follow that which is not entirely clear. Why? ابتغاء الفتنة, they looking for fitna, for affliction, and for its hidden meanings. And this is the concerning the people who have say, who have zayg in their heart, there is deviation. And concerning the people who are firmly established in knowledge, what did Allah say about them? He said, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, and those who are firmly established in knowledge, يَقُولُونَ, they say, آمَنَّا بِهِ, we believe in it, meaning in its entirety, كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, all of it, the muhkam and the mutashabih, all of it from Allah. So the people in whose hearts there is deviation, they take from these verses that are not entirely clear, they take them as means to slander the book of Allah, and as means of fitna between people, and as explaining it in ways that are not intended by Allah, so they get astray and they lead others astray. As to those who are firmly established in knowledge, they believe that whatever came in the book of Allah is true, and there is no contradiction or opposition in its verses or amongst its verses, because it is all from Allah. And Allah said in another verse, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, had it been this Quran from other than Allah, they would have found in it much contradiction. And these people who are firmly established in knowledge, they take that which is mutashabih, not entirely clear, they take it to that which is muhkam, which is entirely clear, لِيَكُونَ الْجَمِيعُ مُحْكَمًا, so that everything becomes clear. So they say concerning the first verse which we read earlier, that concerning the hands of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qualified with two real hands befitting His majesty and greatness, that they don't resemble the hands of the creatures. Just as He, Allah, is qualified with a self which does not resemble the selves of the creatures, because Allah says about Himself, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is like unto Him, yet what, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, He is the all-hearer, hearer all-seer. So how come you affirm a self for Allah and you don't say that the self of Allah resembles the self of the creatures, and you stop short therefore from affirming the other attributes which Allah spoke about, like His hands? Why don't you say also to Allah belongs the most honorable hands that fits Him, and they are unlike those of the imperfect creature hands, etc. So this is the first. You see the position of those who are firmly established in knowledge, how they deal with the texts. Take for example now the second verse, the second example. Both good and bad, good and evil, exist by the preordainment of Allah. However, the good, the reason for its occurrence is the favor of Allah, that it is a favor from Allah upon His slaves. as to the bad, sababuha fi'lu al-'abd, its occurrence is due to the action of the slave himself. Allah said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ, whatever a calamity befalls you, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, it's due to what your hands had earned. وَيَعْفُوا عَن كَثِيرٍ, and He forgives many. So, adding the sin or the evil deed to the slave is adding the thing to its cause, not adding it to the one who preordained it. However, adding the good and the sin to Allah is from the angle of adding something to the one who preordained them in the first place, and thus there is no contradiction whatsoever between the two verses. And they say regarding the third example that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never doubted as to that which came down from Allah. To the contrary, he is the most knowledgeable of mankind concerning what he receives from Allah, and the most certain in belief regarding this, as Allah explained in the same chapter concerning him. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, Yunus 104, this is Yunus 94, just read after it 10 104. You see how the people who are firmly established in knowledge take that which is not entirely clear, they take it to that which is entirely clear. Say, O Muhammad, O you mankind, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي شَكٍ مِّن دِينِي, if you are in doubt as to my religion, meaning Islam, then know that I will never worship those whom you worship. فَلَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, but I worship Allah who causes you to die. I am commanded to be one of the believers. So the meaning is, in kuntum fi shakkin min, if you are in doubt concerning it, then I am certain, I have no doubt, and that's why I will never ever worship those whom you worship besides Allah. Rather akfuru bihim wa abudu Allah, I belie them and deny them and I worship Allah. More than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a believer in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:285. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه, the messenger believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. Let's even examine this verse which brings them such a delusion concerning that the Prophet ﷺ may have doubted. It is not binding that the saying of Allah, فَإِن كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍ مِّمَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ, if you O Muhammad is in doubt concerning that which we have brought down to you, it is not binding that doubt is permitted upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or occurring from him. Don't you see, ala tara, don't you see the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Zukhruf, which is very similar, 43 81, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدٌ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ. Don't you contemplate the other similar verses like this one. Say, O Muhammad, if the most beneficent Allah had a son, does this really, is it this binding that he has a son? if the most beneficent had a son or children as you pretend, then I am the first of Allah's worshippers. Does this really mean? Does this entail that the son or children is permitted for Allah, or that it is occurring? I ask you all, is it permitted or is that occurring? I ask you all, could you please answer? Does this entail it? Does this entail these conclusions that you have? Does it really necessitate these conclusions? No. What about the others? Naam. No, yeah. Of course not. So this is did not occur, and it's not permitted upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ليس جائز, it's not also befitting. قال الله تعالى, listen to what Allah says in Surah Maryam in 1992. وما ينبغي للرحمن أن يتخذ ولدا إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آت الرحمن عبدا. It is not suitable. But it is not suitable for the majesty of the most beneficent that he should beget a son or offspring or children. It doesn't befit. It's not suitable. So again, therefore, it is not suitable, nor is it occurring that the Prophet ﷺ doubted or was in doubt. Not only that, let's take the same verse 1094, the last of it, please. Let's take the last of 1094. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. Allah ended the verse, so be not of those who doubt it. Be not of those who doubt it. This again does not entail that doubt occurred from the Prophet ﷺ, because forbidding something, commanding to forbid something, could be directed to the one who did not do that, or to the one whom it didn't occur from him. Don't you see the evidence for this in Surah Al-Qasas in 28:87? وَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أُنْزِلَتْ إِلَيْكَ وَادْعُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And let them not turn you, O Muhammad, away from preaching the ayat, verses and lessons, etc. of Allah after they have been sent down to you, and invite them to believe in your Lord, and be not of the mushriks. And it is known, they didn't really turn away the Prophet ﷺ from the verses of Allah, and that there occurred nothing of doubt from the Prophet ﷺ. And the purpose and the objective from commanding this prohibition, from directing this prohibition to the Prophet ﷺ, is to the ones from whom directing these commands and forbiddance prohibition, to the one which does not come from, is the purpose, is, and this is the objective, is التنديد بمن وقع منهم والتحذير من مناهجهم, is defaming or revilement. This is the purpose, is defaming or revilement as to those who did these things and to warn and to caution from their methodologies and pathways. And in this way, therefore, such a delusion, such a doubt, which occurs to some people when they read 1094, is removed, because this does not befit, it is not suitable to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to even think about it this way. The purpose of this prohibition and command to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is defaming revilement as to those who did this, and to warn and caution from their methodology and pathways. Now, طيب, let's go to the last section. Okay, jazakallah khair, thank you. أنواع التشابه في القرآن. The types of تشابه in the Quran. Those, the types of those that are not entirely clear. The types. The تشابه is of two types. The first type is real. حقيقي, real. And this pertains to that which mankind is unable to comprehend from the how of Allah's attributes. I will repeat. The first type of the mutashabih, which is not entirely clear, is real, is haqiqi, and this pertains to that which humankind is unable to arrive at from the manner, state of, or how of Allah's attributes Azza wa Jal. Even though we know the meanings of these sifat, of these attributes, however we don't realize their realities as to their how. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha in 20:110, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. And also Allah says in Surah Al-An'am 13, after that inshallah, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, and they will never compass anything of his knowledge. And they will never compass anything of his knowledge. Also Al-An'am 13, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرِ. Al-An'am, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Vision cannot grasp him, and he grasps all visions. This is the verse, so there must be a mistake here. Tayyib. Maybe 103. Try 103, inshallah. It is 103. It is 103, yes. No vision can grasp him, but his grasp is over all vision. He is the most subtle and cautious, well acquainted with all things. And that's why when Imam Ahmad, when Imam Malik, may Allah's mercy be upon him, when he was asked concerning Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa, the most beneficent ascended the throne, he was asked, Kayfa istawa, how did he ascend? He said, Al-Istiwa, ascension, meaning the meaning, Ghayru majhul, meaning the meaning, is not unknown. وَالْكَيْفُ غَيْرُ مَعْقُولُ, as to the how, it's incomprehensible. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَاجِبُ, and believing in the ascension in its true meaning is a must. وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ, and asking concerning the how is a bid'ah, is an innovation. And in fact he ordered this person and called him an innovator and called him out of his majlis. And such a matter we don't ask about it because we can't attain it. We can't attain the how of Allah's attributes. So this is the first type of mutashabih, is real. That which is not entirely clear, pertaining to the how of Allah's attributes, to the haqiqah, to the reality, or the how of Allah's attributes. The second type of the mutashabih is nisbi, relative, meaning it is not entirely clear to some, but it is clear to others. And who are these others? Are those who are firmly established in knowledge and no one else. And this matter, you ask to attain what it means, because it is possible to do so. Why we say this? Because there is nothing in the Quran except which is totally hidden from everyone to be known. No, there is nothing like that. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted the following in the Quran. He said in Surah Al-Imran in 3:138, هذا بيان للناس وهدى وموعظة للمتقين. هذا بيان للناس. للناس هذا عام. كلمة للناس, كلمة للناس for عام, is general. And this Quran is a plain statement for mankind. For mankind meaning يعني open. وهدى وموعظة, guidance and instruction to those who are متقين. So there cannot be anything in the Quran which is totally hidden from everyone, such that everyone doesn't know it. No, because this contradicts the Quran, such an understanding. And it is therefore clear either by text directly or by implication. We also read what also further substantiate this critical belief and position is in Surah An-Nahl, verse 89. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we have sent you, the middle there, and we have sent you down to you, we have sent down to you the book, the Quran, as an exposition of everything, a guidance, a mercy, and a glad tidings for those who have submitted themselves to Allah. Also read Surah Al-Qiyamah 75 verse 19, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ. And when we have recited it to you, Muhammad, through Jibreel, then follow you it, the Quran. And you see here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have recited to you, O Muhammad, but we know that Jibreel was the messenger from Allah to Muhammad. So it is as if now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generalized here by saying, and we have recited it to you. Although Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received it through Jibreel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse, and this is a good point of benefit here. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generalizes like this in Surah Al-Fath. Take Surah Al-Fath verse 10, please. Al-Fath verse 10. Al-Fath verse 10. Fath 48. Verse 10. إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم. Very those who give pledge to you, O Muhammad, they are giving pledge to Allah. Look what then Allah said, generalized. The hand of Allah is over their hands. Yet we know that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the one who is taking their hands for the pledge. Because now Allah generalized it in this way, because now they are giving the pledge to the messenger, So as if it is a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since the hand of the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on their hands, صارت كأنها يد الله. It is as if it is the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فأطلق الله تعالى أنها يده. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generalized in his saying as if it is his own hand. And also we know that in Surah An-Nisa as well, 4:174, the same concept that يعني it cannot be hidden from everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بُرْهَانٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا. O mankind, verily there has come to you a convincing proof, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from your Lord, and we send down to you a manifest light and this Quran. And the examples are many on this. Like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is like unto him. So when the people of denial went into the delusion that لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, it means that, you know, they denied the attributes. When they hear that there is nothing like unto Allah, they denied all the attributes of Allah. Why? Because they came to the conclusion that affirming the attributes necessitates resemblance. And they turned away from all the other verses which affirm the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that affirming the origin of the meaning does not entail in any way the resemblance. Also take another example, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa concerning the intentional killing of a believer. 4:93. Now see how the people of deviation, you know, abuse the verses. And whoever kills a believer intentionally, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا, his recompense is hell to abide therein. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and the wrath and the curse of Allah are upon him, and a great punishment is prepared for him. Okay? So and when his recompense is hell is to abide therein, this is referred to in Arabic as خَالِدًا فِيهَا. The origin of this خُلُود, abiding, the original meaning is that it is forever. Okay, the original meaning. However, this verse is from the verse of wa'id, of a threat. And thus this means that the intentional killing of a believer, a cause for his kufr. The intentional killing of a believer may end up being a cause for the disbelief of the believer who committed this crime. And thus he may deserve such a punishment. However, we read before this verse that this verse occurred between two verses. We read the saying of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. In the beginning of the same surah, we read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive that people ascribe partners with him in worship, and he forgives other than that to whom he wishes. So the dissidents, the sect which is called Khawarij, and the Mu'tazilite, another sect, they took from this verse which you see there and understood it that the one who kills a believer intentionally is to reside forever in the fire of hell, and they made this a ruling on every believer who commits one of the major sins, and they abandoned all the other verses that in which Allah asserts that any major sin other than lesser than the great shirk falls under the mashi'ah of Allah, falls under the will of Allah. If Allah wishes, He may pardon him, and if Allah wishes, He may punish him, but not forever. And that's why the Khawarij, they make takfir of the believers who commit major sins. The dissidents, the Khawarij. Take another case. Take the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. This is in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 70. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Know you not that Allah knows all that's in heaven and on earth? Verily it is all in the book, written in the book. Everything is written in the book, which is Allah al-Mahfud, the preserved tablet. Verily, this is easy for Allah. So, the people of compelling, and this is another sect which is called Al-Jabriya, literally the compellers, meaning the people of who see that the slave of Allah, people are compelled, that they had no choice. They took this verse to say that it means, since everything is written in the preserved tablet, so there is no need to work because we are compelled, we have no choice. And therefore they claim that man has no will, no power. And they left, you see how they follow the mutashabih? They follow the mutashabih. And they turned away from all the other verses, which proves that there is a will and power for the slave, for man. And that the action of man is of two types. Ikhtiyari wa ghayru ikhtiyari, by choice and by no choice. And here there is a point of benefit. Can you write the Arabic words for the two types? Yes. Yes. اختياري وغير اختياري. Those compellers, Al-Jabriya, even their saying which you heard now, that man is compelled. So this proof of them, of theirs, is it by their choice or by other than their choice what they had said? Were they compelled to see this, compelled to say this opinion, or they were not compelled? Do you understand what I'm saying? Al-Jabriya, those who believe this concept of compelling or compulsion, they're saying, their argument, did they say it out of their choice or not? So this contradicts their position, that's the point. So in all of that you heard, الراسخون في العلم, those who are deeply established in knowledge, the men of intellect, sound intellect, they know how to deal with these verses, they take their meaning to fit with the other perfectly clear meanings which are the foundations of the book, and thus they make everything muhkam, everything perfect without any kind of ishtibah. Now what is the wisdom in having this variety of verses in the Quran, muhkam and mutashabih? First of all, the first wisdom is testing people by the mutashabih. testing the believers by the mutashabih. Had the Quran been all entirely clear, then this wisdom would not have been needed, and there would have been no point in testing people as to their belief and action regarding the meanings of the Quran. So that also people leave the mutashabih and leave the fitna. This is from one angle. And also on the other hand, had it been all mutashabih, not entirely clear, then the wisdom of having it a bayan, a clarity and explanation of everything and guidance to mankind would have been missed, and people would not have been able to act accordingly and establish the correct beliefs. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His wisdom, put it in this way. Some verses, muhkamat, where people refer to, and others, mutashabih, as a test for the slaves, so that those who are really true believers will be distinguished from those whose in their heart there is a deviation. The one who is a true believer knows that the Quran is all from Allah, and since it is all from Allah, then it is true, and therefore it cannot contain any falsehood or contradiction, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد. Fussilat 41:42. Falsehood cannot come to it, the Quran, from before it or behind it. It is sent down by the All Wise, worthy of all praise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, we read in Nisa, again in Surah An-Nisa 82, ولو كان من 82, I'm sorry, ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا. Had it been from other than Allah, they would have found in it much incongruity. However, as to those who have deviation in their hearts, they take from the mutashabih a means to the distortion of the muhkam, a means to the distortion of the perfectly clear ones, and to follow desires in casting doubts concerning the news, and standing arrogantly vis-a-vis the rulings and the laws. And that is why you find many from those deviants in the creed and actions. You find them always taking the mutashabih as their evidence. This is the most important point of this class. They build up their creeds and their methodologies on that which is mutashabih, not entirely clear. Wallahi, this is what is happening in the ummah now, and as well before. And it is very evident where you are in now. Many people, they come up with verses left and right from the mutashabih, and they built their creed on it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such ways of deviation. And I can tell you, the one who is not of this type, and who is keen to learn honestly and sincerely his deen, should be grateful to Allah that he is not on their footsteps. Should be so grateful to Allah that he is not on their footsteps, otherwise he would be of them. And that's why I make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from the ways of deviation, and to make us of those who follow the path of those who are firmly established in knowledge, who take those verses that are not entirely clear, which are a test for us, take it to those which are entirely clear. Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book, and we refer it to them, and we come with everything clear, super crystal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do everything. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make of this talk a beneficial one for myself and for all of you, and may Allah bestow abundant mercy upon our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen rahimahullah for this treatise of his, which is the principles of tafsir or foundations of tafsir. Jazakumullah khair wa barakallahu feekum. I ask him also subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it of a benefit for all of you, and may Allah reward you for your patience. Wa barakallahu feekum. Mic is free.